I had a machshava, Rabbi Yisai. Well, it's through Rapas Simchas Torah, but I had a thought that I thought it's an eye opener. He bothered me for a long time. Rabbi Yisai, what's the makoy that we party on Simchas Torah? Where does it come from? It's the makoy in Chazal. Where does it come from? Where does it come from that we are excited and we rejoice on Simchas Torah? Where does it come from? The Torah says, the Beis Yosef brings, it's a medrash, that what happened was, it comes from Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech had a dream, as he was becoming king, he had a dream, and in that dream he was given an opportunity. It was nevuah, it was not just a regular dream, it was one of those dreams. And in that dream, he was given opportunities. That, what do you want? Do you want to be the wealthiest man on earth? Do you want to be the most powerful king on earth? Or do you want to be the wisest man on earth? What do you want? And Shlomo HaMelech then replied in his dream, which was his subconscious self. He replies, no, I want to have wisdom, because if I get wisdom, I'll be able to judge the nation fairly. And that's what he requested in his dream. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then replies and he says, well, because you asked for the right thing, you hit the jackpot. Because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you, not only wisdom I'm going to give you, not just an incredible wisdom I'm going to give you, like nobody else is going to be as wise as you are, but in fact, you're going to get huge, immense wealth as well. You're going to be the richest man. And also, you're going to get also an incredible, huge power and authority. Your army is going to be extremely powerful. And indeed, that's what happened. He's the nation of Klal Yisrael, and Shlomo HaMelech says, was immensely powerful. He was extremely wealthy. Nobody else had similar resources that he did. And he was a Chocham Mikol Adam, as the Pasuk tells us. He was the wisest man on earth. And as after that dream, he went and he understood, even the Rashi says, he understood birds and he understood animals. He understood the dogs barking. He understood, his wisdom was incredible. When he became so incredibly wealthy, he realized that, and he was so grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he had such an immense wisdom. Now he understood everything and he was able to judge Klal Yisrael fairly. This wisdom, this chokhmah was so incredible. He was so grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Based on that, he decided to bring kabonas. He bought a lot of kabonas and he thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he showed his gratitude, a huge gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From here we see, says the Medrash, that if somebody completes the Torah, he should be besimcha. If somebody completes the Torah, he should be besimcha. And therefore, when we complete the Torah too, like Shlomo HaMelech completed the Torah, he was in great simcha, and he was rejoicing, was bringing kabbonah. So similarly, also when we complete the Torah, on Simchas Torah, we also should be very, very happy. And that is the makor for Simchas Torah. Good. So it bothered me for years. I had a kasha here. For years I didn't understand. What's the kasha? Pardon? He didn't finish the Torah. What do you mean? He got chokhmah. That's right. It's incomparable. Surely the reason why I was so excited, was because he suddenly understood everything, and he was a huge. He became chokhmah mikol adam, and then it makes sense to rejoice, because if you know everything, he got a tremendous gift from Hashem. So he was in Torah as well. Everything Torah, absolutely everything. Absolutely, yeah. No more than Moshe Rabbeinu, but on an equal level. He understood everything. He knew everything. So, and by us, I'm saying, we went through the cycle. Very nice. Very, very nice. Went through the cycle. But we cannot claim that we've got that. We've amassed a lot more since last year of understanding Bezer Hashem. But it's not comparable to the completion of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech, it wasn't even a completion. It was a gift that he got the Kol HaTorah Kula. He got Kol HaTorah Kula. He was excited for receiving Kol HaTorah Kula. That was his present, his gift from Hashem. Perhaps it's not about Kol HaTorah Kula. Perhaps it's about a fraction. And with that, there's no reason to be happy. You can't compare. You can't bring a Makoya, someone who knows the Kol HaTorah Kula, I've completed the cycle. It's not a comparison at all. So what's Simchas Torah? Well, it doesn't make sense. How does it make sense? It's bothered me for years. Yeah, you hear the Ora. It's not good makor. What's the answer? It bothered me. I didn't have an answer for a while. Any suggestions?
Well, Torah's infinite. So he couldn't have really got any more close to knowing all of Torah.
Yeah, very good. So absolutely. So I think the key is here. the keys here, and it's a tremendous message for us. Because I think that it's misunderstood. If we think that Shlomo HaMelech's excitement was purely because of having received the Torah as a gift, that's not the truth. The truth really is that a Yid is never looking back about what he has achieved. A Yid always looks ahead what he still has to achieve, yet. And Shlomo HaMelech, whilst it's true that he had Kol HaTorah, but the Simcha that he had was because, oh, wow, I can continue now, I can grow even more. How he grew more, having known Kol HaTorah, I don't know. But it wasn't about the past, it was about the attitude about being able to continue more and have more. That is obviously what the Midrash is telling us. When we complete the cycle, it's not even the pride that we have completed the cycle, but it's about, yes, we learned Kol HaTorah Kulu, we have Messiah the Torah now, but it's about, yes, let's start from fresh now, with based on what I've got, what I've achieved now, let's start from fresh again. And that is the Tzad HaShoveh between Shlomo HaMelech and us. That's the only way we are comparable to, because it's never about achievements in the past tense, it's about the attitude in future sense. And that's what the Tzad HaShoveh is between Shlomo HaMelech and us. It's about having the attitude, what we're going to do now. And that's the Simcha. The Simcha is about looking ahead and not looking what happened until now. And I think that's Pshat in it. That must be Pshat. And I think it's a tremendous... It's a chiddush, I think, in understanding what Simchas HaTorah really is. Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. We are going to complete Beis Hashem today, Toichen, and go into Losh kneading. When Simon Shin Chof Aleph, when Sifud Gimel, which is page Kuf Mem Tes, and the Loch is as follows. Also, lirdois chalois dvash me'akaveres, bees nest. Now, in a bee's nest, the bees produce shelves of wax. So the wax, the honey that they make, is actually in the nest that the bees actually shelves. I think I've seen it once. Yeah, I know I've seen it once. The way they do naturally, there's like layers and layers, like levels. Did you once see it? Did you see it once? It's very interesting to see it. And there's a gentleman here in Edgewood who's got a beehive. And it's very, very interesting. It does go with shelves. Did you ever see it? The way that they go, they make the bees, they naturally make shelves of honey. And of wax, in which that's the honey is there. So now, if you have got these layers, these levels, these shelves of wax, are you allowed to pull this off on Shabbos, yes or no? That's what the Shulchan Aruch is discussing over here. If you can pretty much imagine what it looks like, it's layers, very, very like, it's like wax. Can you pull it off one layer on Shabbos, yes or no? So Shulchan Aruch says of Hinti, if you tell of also, it is prohibited, lirdois, to pull off, to remove, chalois dvash, this is these layers of honey, me'akaveres, from the beehive, perish kain, this is the nest, shadvoirim, that the bees oisim ba'advash, that the bees make inside it, the dvash, the honey. Why? Me'ebnei shedoi mele toilesh, because it resembles toilesh, the melech of toilesh, detaching, good. Now, what is clearly implied in the words of Shulchan Aruch, the words are mipnei shedoi mele toilesh, because it, what does that mean? Because it's like toilesh. So what does that clearly imply?
It's not toilesh.
That it's not mamash toilesh. So my question is, why is it not toilesh?
Because it's not
mamash mechubal karka.
It's not
megidule karka. It's not mechubal karka. So if that's the case, so why is it still doi mele toilesh? So the answer is because the Dvoirim, the Mishneh Berurim Sifkot Mem Zayin explains, bottom line, Shedoy Mele Toilesh, it resembles Melech's Toilesh, Kimokim Gidul Advash, because the place that the honey grows, in inverted commas, Hu Bekveres, it's in the beehive, Bechashvu, Chachomim Kemechabe, Kemechubo, and Chachomim, the Chazal, they considered it like Mechubo, like attached. So it's true. It is not really attached, but it's very similar to being attached, because that's where the dvash, the honey, grows. And therefore, in a way, it's like, and it's looked at as if it's a bit comparable to gidule karka. And therefore, by taking it away, what's happening is that you're taking, it's a bit doing well the toilet, and that's why it's going to be also. For dafkim, dvukim, makaveres, but it's only if it's sticking in the beehive. But if it was already detached before Shabbos, or it's already crumbling, it's like already coming apart to some extent on Fridays, but and the honey just floating around, then you can take it away. So the halacha is to take this layer of wax, to detach it on Shabbos, that's domele toilish, and it's also, if it's detached already, and it's not firmly attached anymore, but it's detached already, but it's got some strings of wax still connected, then to take it away will be permitted. Okay, I think that's what we need to take from here, is that I don't have a real other example, but I think what we need to remember from here is that at times we see that toilish does exist, the melechs of toilish. We're not learning toilish now, but it's something to remember perhaps. That toilish at times is even by non-gidule karka. Something grows in a certain place. I can't think of another case. Gozes, yeah. In terms of toilish, normally it has to be something which is gidule karka. Here we're saying that it's not gidule karka, and yet it's doing with a toilish. Interesting. Okay.
How can it be to take wax out of a beehive, but it's mutter to put vegetables in earth before Shabbos, and you can take them out on Shabbos? Surely that's more domele
toilish. Because domele, you're actually physically detaching something. That's why it's domele toilish. If you're putting vegetables in earth, you're not detaching anything. You've covered it up.
What's the kavana behind this? Is this that people might get confused, or is this because
it's more than that. There's an intrinsic resemblance. Sefer Dalet is going to go into the halacha of losh, kneading. Where are you allowed to make a bottle on Shabbos with baby powder? Or perhaps by adding water to this powder, are you kneading on Shabbos?
Sure, that's not a good example.
It is not. But why not?
Because if you let your baby starve, then
pikuach nefesh. Yes, and indeed, absolutely. Yeah. So let's think of another one. You're right. I'm with you on that.
Porridge
on Shabbos. Very good example. Perfect. Okay. Porridge on Shabbos. Very good example. Forget about the bishul aspect. Let's say they're pre-cooked already, and all you're doing is you're adding hot water to a pre-cooked porridge. Do you know the ones So, and then now by kneading this, you're over meleches losh, yes or no? What about, I'm just throwing in some questions, they will all be clarified in Mitzvah over the next few sifim. What about if you've got children playing with sand? And let's say the sand is not mukta, okay? Sand can be made in a mukta. Sand pit, if it's designated in advance. And you've got a sand, and the kids are playing with let's say indoor sand pit or whatever it may be, and you want to add water to it, and now they want to mix it like toddlers tend to do. Imagine leaving out the shayla of toddlers doing melachas or not, leaving out this aspect now. Just the actual fact, the action of pouring water into sand and then mixing it. You used to do it as well. Don't look. Don't look so innocent. When you were three, you did the same. I'm sure. Yeah. What's the mutter also? Is it melachov? Because obviously, when we talk normally about, yes, there's one of the 39 melachos which is lost, which is kneading. This surely should be the introduction. And the kneading that we normally talk about is flour and water. And all you're doing is you're taking flour and you're adding water. And then you're over meleches losh minatayir. Perhaps according to some rishonim, or according to other rishonim, you physically need to mix it in order to be over. So either according to some rishonim, you pour the water in. That might be already the alarm going on. According to some rishonim, over melacha by adding water, or perhaps the very latest is when you start mixing it. But surely, yes, obviously there's a melacha of losh which is minatayir. Yeah.
Sand is made out of silica.
Good, 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 good. We'll go there. We'll go mamash there. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is going to tell us now. Very good. He's going to go mamash there. That's the point. That is the point. Says the says the said the Shulchan Aruch in Sifut Dalet. The Shulchan Aruch in Sifut Dalet teaches us now goes right straight away in the essential yesoid of the melacha of losh. Ein megablin perish. You know what megablin? What does that mean? Perish nesinas mayim, to pour water bekemach into the flour, nikra gibul. Gibul, the word gibul, in good Loshon HaKodesh, means the same than kneading. Gibul and losh is just two different words for the same activity. Ein megablin, perish nesinas mayim bekemach nikra gibul, to pour water into the flour, that's considered gibul. Kemach koli habe, toasted flour. You're not allowed to pour water into that. Why? Shema yovoi lolush kemach she'enei koli. Because if you were to allow pouring water into toasted flour, pouring water into yakoli, which is toasted flour, if you were to allow that, what's going to happen? People are also going to put water into kemach, into proper flour, which is going to be also. Yeah, let's stop here because it does say muta legabel es koli mat mat. We'll leave that for the moment. Okay, so we're now making a distinction over here, and that's key. That's absolutely key. We'll see about all next seifim. That's going to be a key question. We're making a difference between toasted flour and flour. You're not allowed to pour water into toasted flour, koli, abe, because that's also medrabonon. Because if you were to put it, because then people are going to allow, also, if you were to allow it, people are also going to put it into Shemach She'enu Koli, which they're going to put it into proper flour, thin flour. So what is that, what's the difference over here? What's going on over here? please allow me to carry on with a few words just to clarify that a bit more. That's even better maybe. But if you've got produce that didn't grow a third of its growth yet, didn't ripen yet, so it's very raw, raw is not the word, it's very ungrown, which was toasted, and then it was ground, not fine, not into fine, but into slightly bigger pieces. Shari kichol, because that is like sand. Vianiki is shesisa, and that's considered shesisa. Muta legabel umeno b'choymitz, v'chiyotze b'ha b'vas achas. So he says, well, it's a bit of an exception, but in principle, this flour, which is not fine, but it's much bigger pieces, here, which you call shesisa, that, although it's been ground afterwards, but that's bigger pieces, that, he said, is muta altogether. Somebody said, what we're seeing of it is a difference of what kind of flour we're talking about. When you're pouring water into some flours, that's going to be a Torah transgression. When it's different flours, which are more the bigger pieces, not so fine. Pardon? Yes. Good. Because Gibel is over here, because he's making reference to the Gibel, because there's two types of Gibel, and he's making reference to that. We're going to see in a minute. I'm going to explain. Losh is kneading. Okay, so that is a machlok is a shonim. If when actually over meleches losh minatoyre, is it by pouring water, perhaps already then, or do you actually physically need to knead? Now the Shulchan Aruch, what do you see Shulchan Aruch is paskening? That's how you're learning. Okay, that's not how the Mishnah Berurah learns, but I hear what you're saying. There is, okay, so Lemaisa, the Mishnah Berurah, that's the Rambam, and it's a little bit different than what you're saying, but it's not very far, but it's a bit different. I want to just start with the Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Nun. We might need to explain a bit further tomorrow, but let's start with Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Nun, which gives us the background of this. So I appreciate we want a full clarity yet, but it's going to be a head start. Sifkot Nun Taz Emigablin. Hine, behold, Koidim Shanovo Levaya Diva Shulchan Aruch. Before we actually get full clarity in the words of Shulchan Aruch, Nevaya, we should explain Ktas a little bit. Inyan Lisha, the concept of Lisha, of kneading. I mean, Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Nun. Lisha, to knead, He achas melametes avos melocha is one of the 39 avos melochos. To need. In the conventional sense. Ve'einu davka ledimayim. Kneading is not only transgressed if you pour water into it. Ve'huadin bitvash. It's also with honey. So if you've got honey and you're using that as the liquid to make something, if you're making, what kind of example would there exist? They're putting honey instead of water to make a flour, to make a dough. I think some biscuits are like that, no? You're putting honey instead of, I'm not sure. So anyway, if it's not water, it doesn't matter. If it could be the same thing with honey. For shuman avos v'chol minei mashke, any liquid, if they are poured into a texture and that becomes a doughy kind of texture, v'chol minei mashke shenilosh v'nitbak al yom shenilosh, which is needed, v'nitbak, and it sticks al yom through that. So, by adding water or any liquid, and it becomes, and it's sticking, and it becomes one unit, yo'ovo melaches losh. And that's one of the 39 melaches. Hine, behold, b'inyan lisha, tanya b'vraisa b'gemora. The Gemara says, quotes a Brice and says as follows, Dim echo noisin kemach vecho noisin maim, somebody puts flour and somebody puts water, hachin chayv, the latter one, to one who adds water, he's chayv, divrei Rebbe. For Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda oimer, hene chayv ad sheigabel, and Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda holds, that only once you actually make, you need, that's what Rebbe Feingold held, like Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, that adding water is not sufficient to be over, you actually need to physically need in order to be chayev. For Poskei Rov HaPoskim, ki Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, Rov, the majority of the opinions hold, that you physically need to make an action of needing in order to be over. Just adding water is not an issa. Deraisa, achtal balatumes, v'siyatu lifsoi ki Rebbe, but there's a minority opinion that holds, that adding water per se is already an Issa Torah. That Lidin is seen as Maimnika Gibbul, that it's considered already Gibbul, it's considered already an extension of kneading by adding water. So adding water is already an Issa Torah. We're going to see that's how we pass Kalem Maisa, that adding water is also ready, and you don't need to physically knead till Agro Vishonim to be over. But adding water is a transgression in its own. That's very important. We'll speak about that in future Shu'un Be'ez Hashem. But to gain clarity in this if we'll need to see the next shtickle in Mishneh Berurah. We'll do that Be'ez Hashem. Ha'chonin Olam Das tomorrow. To summarize what we learned today, we started speaking about the wax and the honey in the bee's nest. And to detach it is also because of nirei ketoilish. If it is detached already, there's no issa Torah involved. It's actually mutter. We then started speaking about the concept of gibul and the melach of kneading. And we mentioned as a machlokas as to whether adding water is an issa on its own or kneading. And we learned that the minority opinion is machmir, and that's how the Mishneh Berurah takes on. And we also perhaps mentioned a little bit that there's a difference of what kind of flour, what kind of wheat are you adding the water to, and that we'll discuss in greater detail tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Good evening.